the monkey grinning.
Well, do you think you're pretty handy with a rifle? If you are, the National Park Service might be looking for you. Here's Jason Campidonia.
The agency is looking for physically fit volunteers who are a good shot to take down some bison in the Grand Canyon. About 600 bison live in the area right now, and the feds say that that number could double within the next decade if the population isn't controlled. Park Service officials say that the bison are damaging the park, and the bison meat will be given to the hunters, while some of it will be given to local food banks. I'm Jason Campidonia.
A major telethon tonight will raise money for the victims of Hurricanes Harvey and Irma. The hand-in-hand benefit for hurricane relief will be broadcast at 8 o'clock on all major networks, as well as Bravo, BET, E, MTV, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. The event is live from Los Angeles, New York, and Nashville. Performers will include Beyonce, Justin Timberlake, and Justin Bieber. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hey, Pat. No, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterton County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. Hoo-ah! One focus of the show today is the stupidity of name-calling and statue-destroying. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thanks for joining us. Joining me at the 50-caliber microphone today is co-host Air Force vet Josh Lang. What's up, dude?
First off this week, our thoughts and prayers are with those of you who live in and have loved ones in the path of Hurricane Irma. It's not often when an act of nature is described in military terms, as Greg Levine, the mayor of Miami Beach, did this week when he said of Irma, quote, "This is a nuclear hurricane," end quote. The damage done so far looks worse than that of a war zone. What we're hoping for, though, is a happy ending, like the showing our nation's military academies put on last week in the debut week of college football. Air Force, Army, the Citadel, Coast Guard, Merchant Marine, and Navy Academies, all winners by a good margin in week one. VMI was the only notable school to suffer a defeat at the hands of the Air Force Falcons, which was a 62-0 beatdown.
Thanks, Josh. Hoo-ah! Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby is AWOL today. He's walking wounded at the moment. And Marine Vet Skip Coriel is here looking strong and military. Say something military, Skip.
Hoorah. Semper Fi. Yeah, actually, I've got that killing itch.
Ooh, look out, all rabbits or deer or whatever.
Oh, every September, we are like 20 days from the opening day of archery deer season here in Michigan. And I get that itch every September. I'm ready. I'm cocked, locked, and ready to rock.
So, look out, Bambi, and your big brother and your mom and dad.
Yeah, whoever walks in front of me is going to get it.
That works. We're proud to have the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact as studio sponsors. They do wonderful things for people with traumatic brain injury, specifically military veterans, professional athletes, and first responders. Learn more at EisenhowerCenter.com. Here's what we have for you today. On News and Comment by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss lessons we should have learned from 9/11. Dr. Michael Swickert will then join us to discuss the imperfect historical leaders our nation has had and why it's stupid to take down a statue because a person was imperfect. Then we're going to discuss the National Desert Storm War Memorial. That's a memorial that we hope is going to be built soon in Washington, D.C. And then we're going to talk with one of my West Point classmates who was in the World Trade Center on 9/11. I'm glad I wasn't with him. And last weekend, all three of our service academies played their first football games of the season. We'll review those games.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send us your ideas and comments, either through the website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. Now it's time for News and Comment by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. First, the news. Take it away, Josh.
A week ago, as floodwaters slowly receded and skies finally cleared, military and civilian relief efforts went into high gear in Texas, with the Army alone deploying 16,000 soldiers from 23 states in their response. At a news conference with military commanders in Austin, Texas Governor Greg Abbott said he's received offers of help from all 50 states and accepted assistance from 43, and may accept offers from the other seven. In addition to assets already in place, two Navy ships, the amphibious assault ship Kearsarge and the dock landing ship Oak Hill, have arrived with Marines and their amphibious vehicles and MV-22 Osprey tilt-rotor aircraft aboard in case they're needed. Last week alone, our military rescued over 6,000 people and about 300 pets. In the process, the Army has committed about 700 wheeled vehicles and 90 helicopters to rescues and to bringing food, water, and tents to victims. Air Force General Lori Robinson said Defense Secretary Mattis had given her a simple order. Lori, Texas gets everything they need. Robinson said the military is ready to deploy more capabilities at the request of either FEMA or the Texas governor, and will continue to deploy as much as is requested or needed. The Air Force is providing airlift of survivors by aircraft, such as the C-130 Hercules and C-17 Globemaster, as well as medical evacuations by rotary aircraft. The service has also provided aircraft for command and control, and helicopters to transport people and supplies. An Air Force E-3 Sentry Airborne Warning and Control System, or AWACS, aircraft is conducting air traffic control and surveillance, gathering data on flooded areas, and providing situational awareness. The Navy has helicopters flying rescue missions and a P-8 Poseidon surveillance plane that is usually deployed for reconnaissance and finding submarines. The Defense Logistics Agency has provided fuel, sandbags, generators, and incident support bases, and is delivering meals to dislocated citizens. The Army Corps of Engineers has experts in Texas to support FEMA and local communities in technical assistance, such as power restoration. General Robinson added, "We will be there, steady, ready, and to support at a moment's notice."
Folks, I'm proud of our military's quick response to this disaster, but I'm prouder of the entire nation's response. The Texans are helping each other, and American volunteers from all over are down there, many at their own expense, just to help another American in need. This is the America I'm proud to have served and to be a citizen of. Let's keep all this oneness attitude when all this subsides.
The U.S. and South Korea wrapped up their annual joint military exercises at the end of last month by flying some of their most powerful warplanes in bombing drills in a show of force, 2 days after North Korea fired a ballistic missile over Japan. Two B-1B supersonic bombers and four F-35 stealth fighter jets from our Air Force and Marine Corps joined four South Korean F-15 fighter jets in live-fire bombing exercises over a military range in eastern South Korea. On their way to join the South Korean jets, the American warplanes flew together with two F-15s from Japan's self-defense forces over waters near the southwestern Japanese island of Kyushu. General Terence O'Shaughnessy, commander of U.S. Pacific Air Forces, in referring to North Korea, said, quote, This complex mission clearly demonstrates our solidarity with our allies and underscores the broadening cooperation to defend against this common regional threat. End quote. South Korean F-15s had just conducted a similar bombing drill, hours after a Hwasong-12 intermediate-range ballistic missile from North Korea flew over northern Japan and splashed into the Pacific, after a flight of nearly 1,700 miles. North Korea's test was the first time one of its missiles had flown over another country. Its leader, Kim Jong-un, said that the test could be a curtain raiser for more such tests in the Pacific. The missile test rattled a region increasingly concerned about North Korea's fast-advancing missile capabilities and its increasingly bold way of demonstrating them. Mr. Kim said he would watch U.S. actions before deciding whether to conduct more missile tests, including in waters around Guam, an American territory that is home to Anderson Air Force Base. Hours after Mr. Kim's warning, the U.S. conducted what it called a previously planned missile defense test, intercepting a medium-range ballistic missile fired from a Navy-guided missile destroyer off the coast of Hawaii. Kim also bragged about having a hydrogen bomb ready to use. President Trump declared, quote, "Talking is not the answer," end quote, to resolving the prolonged standoff over North Korea's nuclear and missile programs. But hours later, when asked by reporters if we were out of diplomatic solutions with North Korea, Defense Secretary Jim Mattis replied, "No." Mattis later explained that we didn't want to attack the North, but we will if necessary.
President Trump said that he will not tolerate such hostile activities by North Korea. I suspect it was the disaster in Texas that has kept Trump from making a decisive move at the moment. Our nation certainly cannot stand to have another Obama line in the sand for Syria, where we were all talk and no action and lost the respect of much of the world. China has condemned North Korea as well as have Japan and South Korea, but the world is looking to see what we will do. Our nation has to do something with North Korea, and soon. And that's the news. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel on the topic of learning from the 9/11 experience. Then we'll talk about imperfect leaders with Dr. Michael Swicker. At ease, troops, take a break. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I want to share about an incredible program available for our veterans across America who are suffering from PTS and traumatic brain injury. It's called After the Impact, and it serves our veterans and NFL football players. You know, it all started at the Eisenhower Center in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and is now expanded to a new facility in Jacksonville, Florida. After the Impact provides real treatment and healing in a transitional residential setting. See more about their facilities for veterans and players at EisenhowerCenter.com.
Don't do what I did and run out.
If it's working, don't quit. Why would you stop?
Why undo all the good that's been accomplished?
You've got to feed them right for life.
Dynavite is nutrition.
If I ever took Roy off of Dynavite.
No.
When I get to about three quarters.
When I get down to the bottom of my box of Dynavite.
Oh, no. I've got a couple more scoops.
It's time to place my order. Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
859-428-1000.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds.
Free this week at Dynavite.com.
Just feed your dog right. Use Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
859-428-1000.
859-428-1000.
Dinovite.com.
We are back, and we are looking at a pretty lopsided matchup, Jim.
That's right, Ron. I mean, in one corner, we've got a 175-pound guy, and in the other, a 6,000-ton heavyweight train?
Jim, this guy has no idea what he's getting himself into.
It's no contest. Every day, people tempt fate and die trespassing on railroad tracks. See tracks, think train.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon.
Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use. Let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It's 20 minutes after the hour, and you are in formation and listening to the Front Lines of Freedom all across America. A Front Lines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, honor, and remember. Our nation must never forget those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. This is the mission of Honor and Remember, a nonprofit based in Virginia, with support from their national sponsor, Spartan Nash, the leading distributor to U.S. commissaries and fifth largest food distributor. Learn more about how you contribute to the mission at honorandremember.org. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. Most listeners know that I teach at local colleges. Most of my students have virtually no idea of what happened on 9/11 in 2001. For most who do know of it, it falls into the category of a long-ago historical event, much like the Civil War or maybe the attack on Pearl Harbor. It's something that happened but does not have any impact on today's world. The fact that the media and many folks in government think of it the same way places our nation at risk of future attacks, probably not the same kind of attack, but an attack from the people who did and still do want us dead. On September 11, 2001, 19 radical Islamists associated with al-Qaeda hijacked four airliners and carried out suicide attacks against targets in the United States. Two of the planes were flown into the towers of the World Trade Center in New York City, a third plane hit the Pentagon, and the fourth plane crashed in a field in Pennsylvania. Often referred to as 9/11, the attacks resulted in extensive death and destruction. Over 3,000 people were killed during the attacks in New York and Washington, including over 400 police officers and firefighters. The attackers were Islamic terrorists from Saudi Arabia and several other nations. Reportedly financed by Saudi fugitive Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda terrorist organization, they were allegedly acting in retaliation for America's support for Israel and its involvement in the Persian Gulf War and its continued military presence in the Middle East. The terrorists easily smuggled box cutters and knives through security at three East Coast airports and boarded four flights headed for California, chosen because the planes were loaded with fuel for the long journey. Soon after the takeoff, the terrorists commandeered the four planes and took the controls, transforming commuter jets into guided missiles. As millions watched the events unfolding in New York, American Airlines Flight 77 circled over downtown Washington, D.C., and slammed into the west side of the Pentagon at 9:45 a.m. Jet fuel from the Boeing 757 caused a devastating inferno. All told, 125 military personnel and civilians were killed in the Pentagon, along with all 64 people on the airliner. Now, less than 15 minutes after the terrorists struck the Pentagon, the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapsed in a massive cloud of dust and smoke. The structural steel of the skyscraper, built to withstand winds in excess of 200 miles an hour and a large conventional fire, could not stand the tremendous heat generated by the burning jet fuel. And at 10:30 a.m., the other Trade Center tower collapsed. Close to 3,000 people died in the World Trade Center and its vicinity, including 343 firefighters and paramedics and 60 police officers who were struggling to complete an evacuation of the building and save the office workers trapped on the higher floors. Only 6 people in the World Trade Center towers at the time of their collapse survived. Meanwhile, a 4th California-bound plane, United Flight 93, was hijacked about 40 minutes after leaving Newark International Airport in New Jersey. Because the plane had been delayed in takeoff, passengers on board learned of the events in New York and Washington via cell phone calls. Knowing that the aircraft was not returning to an airport as the hijackers claimed, a group of passengers and flight attendants planned an insurrection. One of the passengers told his wife over the phone that, quote, "I know we're all going to die, but there's 3 of us that are going to do something about it. I love you, honey." The passengers fought with the 4 hijackers and are suspected to have attacked the cockpit with a fire extinguisher. The plane then flipped over and sped toward the ground at upwards of 500 miles an hour, crashing in a rural field in western Pennsylvania at 10:10 a.m. All 45 people aboard were killed. The intended target is not known, but theories include the White House, the Capitol, or Camp David. So, America had been attacked, clearly an act of war. More Americans died on 9/11 than did during the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Comments by the Colonel on Frontlines of Freedom. At 7 p.m., President Bush delivered a televised message from the Oval Office declaring, quote, "Terrorist attacks can shake the foundations of our biggest buildings, but they cannot touch the foundation of America. These acts shatter steel, but cannot dent the steel of American resolve." In a reference to the eventual U.S. military response, he declared, expressing exactly the right way of conducting a war, quote, "We will make no distinction between terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbor them. Unfortunately, while we did hunt the enemy, we made a number of mistakes, including not attacking those who harbor our enemy. We let numerous nations harbor Islamist terrorists, including nations like Iran, Syria, and Libya. Those nations should have paid a price for their actions if the president's words were serious. We have to do what we say, so our enemies all had safe spaces in which they could recruit and train. We did, however, have a very, very effective response to the Taliban in Afghanistan. The Taliban ruled most of that country, and it was from there that most of those who attacked us came. Operation Enduring Freedom, the American-led international effort to oust the Taliban regime in Afghanistan and destroy Osama bin Laden's terrorist network based there, began on October 7th, and within 2 months, U.S. Special Forces working with the Northern Alliance had effectively removed the Taliban from operational power. But we pulled out when our forces were needed in Iraq. Oh, and we did invade Iraq. Our invasion and attack to seize control of the capital and the majority of the nation was well done and quickly and successfully executed. Unfortunately, we didn't have a plan on what to do then, and our goofy plan of disbanding the Iraqi army, trying to make a tribal society into a democracy, and doing nation building instead of enemy killing, and then abandoning the fight when the enemy was beaten, has produced the disaster we face today. We had abandoned our victory in Afghanistan too, and the bad guys came back. Then we applied the same goofy goals in Afghanistan that hadn't worked in Iraq. That might be turning around now. One of our biggest failures is that we hadn't, and still haven't, named the enemy. The enemy is radical Islam. That includes ISIS, the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, and similar terrorist groups that ignore the international rules of war that, among other things, require combatants to wear uniforms, prohibit intentionally attacking civilians and using civilian facilities, like hospitals and schools, as military facilities. Most of these groups are fighting to cause the entire world to become radical Islamist, sometimes called the caliphate. In every case, they want Sharia law to become the only law in every nation. They want this in America, too, and that absolutely means they want our Constitution to be destroyed. I suggest that we demand that Congress declare war on radical Islam, defined as terrorist organizations or those who would replace our Constitution with their Sharia law. Then our military will know who the enemy is, and we can go after them wherever they are, and so-called neutral nations won't be tempted to harbor such people. Our nation's special operators are probably already going after such people, but their legal status while in a foreign nation is, well, awkward. Okay, illegal. Declaring war will make things perfectly legal. For years and years, we've called the actions of these enemies to be criminal and let law enforcement deal with them. will certainly need to continue the full support of law enforcement, but these folks are not criminals. Okay, they're war criminals, but that's different than a civilian criminal, and our criminal justice system is not for them. These are our nation's enemies. It's time to declare war on the enemies of our nation, be that radical Islam, or North Korea, or Iran. Let's be clear about things before we send our brave troops into battle. And those are my comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk about imperfect historical leaders and how to treat their statues with Dr. Michael Swickert. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You are standing tall with Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. 50 of them, then stand at ease.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We're having to go down and make sure that it's a safe place for people to return so that we don't have loss of life after Irma passes through.
The head of FEMA, Brock Long, speaking to reporters about damage in the Florida Keys. He says it could be weeks before some residents of the Keys are able to return to their homes.
This is going to be a frustrating event. It's going to take some time to allow people back into their homes, particularly in the Florida Keys. If you look at what happened in Florida, obviously Monroe County took the brunt of the hit, and a majority of the homes there have been impacted in some ways, with several of them destroyed and many more with major damage.
Hope Hicks is being named the permanent White House Communications Director. Hicks, who has been serving as the interim Communications Director, now leading the communications team on the permanent basis. Hicks becomes the third permanent Communications Director, officially replacing Anthony Scaramucci, who lasted less than 2 weeks. USA Radio News.
Allergy congestion. Cut grass. Cat on the sofa. Dust in the carpet. Whenever allergy congestion makes you feel trapped, break through with Allegra D for 5-in-1 24-hour multi-symptom relief. Allegra D combines a non-drowsy antihistamine with a powerful decongestant for fast relief that starts working in just 1 hour. Break through allergy congestion with Allegra D. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
Fall is the best time to feed your lawn. With 10% off Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food at the Home Depot. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard feeds your lawn to build strong, deep grass roots for winter when you need it most. So it'll be lush, green, and beautiful next spring when you want it most. Scott's Turf Builder Winter Guard Fall Weed and Feed and Fall Lawn Food. 10% off now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Valid through October 4th.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our Restaurant Showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
Troops, welcome back to the nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, do send me your comments and questions. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. The team of the Eisenhower Center and After the Impact really helps our troops who suffer from traumatic brain injury. They also help professional athletes and first responders. These are really great people. Check them out at eisenhowercenter.com. Now it's time to meet Dr. Michael Swickert. He's been in the media seemingly forever, and he writes incredibly interesting columns that make, or should make, people think. That's how I got to know about him. So welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Dr. Swickert.
Thank you so much, Colonel Killam. I sure appreciate it. I love what you guys are doing. I'm looking forward to your book at Amazon.com.
Well, The Smiling Ranger is a fun book. Michael, let's start by sharing your background. You didn't just stumble into a PhD and a role in the media. How did all this happen?
Well, my dad was a combat photographer in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, and taught at the Air Force School of Photography at Lowry Air Force Base in Aurora, Colorado. And I had gone through, because we had a darkroom at home there in Aurora, I went through all of the blocks just at home. And so out of high school, I started doing pictures in the local paper. And then when I went to college, I did a lot of photography, transitioned to television and radio. And I started writing columns in 1969. And that's how I got here. I did get a doctorate in distance learning, which I think you and I are doing right now, because we are separated, but we are in the same learning circle. So let's talk about imperfect leaders. That's what I wrote about.
You know, and that rang my bell because, well, imperfect leaders, that presumes that there are perfect ones out there? Or, you know, the last time I checked, there weren't a whole lot of perfect people in the world.
You know, if we look at World War II and the Army, we got names like George Patton, and we have names like Douglas MacArthur, whose father, Arthur MacArthur, was the general of the Army before him. These were very imperfect people who were so instrumental in us prevailing in World War II.
Well, they were. I might add, while we're talking about perfect, that my wife told me the first 5 years we were married, she thought I was perfect. I haven't had the nerve to ask her what happened then.
We all, the Home Improvement Committee of Janet, lets me know when I have strayed off the highway, as I should go.
Yeah, off the straight and narrow. Okay, so the issue is all of our previous leaders have been imperfect, but many of them, besides being imperfect, have done wonderful things for our country or for the world.
Would there even be a free nation if there hadn't been George Washington, Benjamin Franklin, Samuel Adams, and Thomas Jefferson? But those four, now George Washington was very good, but the other three really were very imperfect. Thomas Jefferson, we hold these truths to be self-evident. And he wrote the best thing that really got our patriots into line to understand what they were doing. You know, you've got Benjamin Franklin, who very imperfect, too. If he hadn't gotten France to join us in the Revolutionary War, I don't know that we would have prevailed.
Well, it's certainly unlikely that we would have.
It would be very unlikely. And so we have these very imperfect leaders, Thomas Jefferson, who was an imperfect human being owning slaves. And in his private writings, he felt like you could not stop slavery in his generation, but they would handle it in the next generation. And he was relatively correct about that. So we have the Thomas Jefferson Memorial. Should we be tearing that down because he was a slaveholder? Or Washington Monument? Now, if you took mechanical engineering, you know it's no easy thing to take the Washington Monument down. For one thing, I'm going to be standing in front of you saying, no, no, no.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing dealing with former leaders who were imperfect with Dr. Michael Swickert. The challenge here is we wouldn't have a country if it weren't for George Washington. His leadership in the military and his leadership of the country after the war were beyond great. And while he didn't have any slaves, his wife had some. He inherited some, and he ran his father-in-law's farm something for about a year where there were slaves. But they were there. He didn't set them free. Thomas Jefferson, as you pointed out, was a slave owner. He set his slaves free upon his death. But we have to understand that there was a different culture then.
But what leader today or previously can you point to and say, there was the perfect one, because they're all imperfect is what I wrote, but we have to judge them by the value. There was a book, The 100 Greatest People Ever, and I didn't completely agree with what the guy came up with, but I looked at his methodology, which was, what did they do that people of their day weren't going to do? Abraham Lincoln, there was no one else that would have come up with the 13th Amendment to the Constitution.
That's right.
He was the only one that would have actually come to that point. And if you look at all, Stanton and all the rest of the people he ran against in the 1860 presidential election, he's the only one. And so he's rated very high, like George Washington, the only military leader of the day that understood it was to win the war, not the battle. And so even today we have people that we say, oh, but he drinks. Yes. Yes.
They said that about Ulysses S. Grant. He did a fair job for us, didn't he?
Yeah, that's the, well, here in New Mexico, we have an argument. I would like to celebrate Pat Garrett, who was the sheriff, not Billy the Kid, the outlaw. And they said, well, Pat Garrett drinks. And I said, give me the name of anyone in the Old West other than Carrie Nation who did not drink. And, you got to judge these people by what they got done. Now, as far as the statues in the South, I don't have any one way or the other than I would like a team of historians, not a mob of violence, to decide what statues will stand and will not. I will not defend or denigrate Robert E. Lee. I personally think that he did so good at the end of the Civil War, keeping it from turning into a guerrilla war.
Yes.
Also reuniting, where he told his officers, no, we are done. We're now going to go back and be Americans. And he didn't allow it. So all those people who say, well, he was a slave owner, and you go, nah, not really. You're missing this. It's what did he do at the end of the Civil War to reunite? And Ulysses Grant had incredible affection for him for the fact that he did not let the bloodletting go longer than April of 1865. He stopped it himself, even though Jefferson Davis wanted to continue. But the power of Robert E. Lee stopped it right there. You don't see much Jefferson Davis stuff out there, other than he was the one that brought the camels to New Mexico and Arizona, so we still think of him when we see camels. But
yes, you're right.
So the argument for statues needs to be dealt with by the leaders and historians and as a reasoned task, not a mob violence.
The one thing that is almost totally true is that a mob reaction is almost always off base. I can't think of an exception to that.
One of my quotes is, never use a political solution for a non-political problem. This is a historical problem. Don't use political solutions. Don't do them for education or health or military. Don't use political solutions. But especially for historical, don't use political solutions.
And a bunch of people who are just mad and want to go out and tear up something, by definition, my definition, should not be allowed to do whatever it is unless they happen to own it. Then they're free to tear anything up they want.
If they want to tear up dollar bills, I don't mind them doing that. I prefer they send the dollar bills to me. I'll dispose of them quite nicely.
That's a public service, Michael, and I appreciate your doing it. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. It's summer, troops. Go out in your lawn and do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do every day. Then do 20 more sit-ups and take a break, but stay in the area. We'll be right back.
Spartan Ash is excited to support LZ Michigan, a community festival designed to remember, honor, and celebrate veterans and their families.
The event will take place on Saturday, September 23rd at Fifth Third Ballpark in Grand Rapids, Michigan. LZ Michigan is free of charge due to the generous support of Spartan Ash, and complimentary tickets will be available at all Spartan Ash retail locations in Michigan starting later this summer.
Learn more at lzmichigan.org.
Dynavite is the best thing that's ever happened to my dogs, you know, besides me, of course.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a big tube of Doggo Suds free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Doggo Suds shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Doggo Suds
free this week at Dynavite.com.
Dynavite is nutrition. DINOVITE.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. Michael Swickert on the topic of dealing with the monuments to some of our former imperfect leaders in our nation. Michael, I think part of the problem is that culture changes over time. Back from the time of the Revolutionary War through the Civil War, at least, people never thought of themselves nationally. It was their community and their states, and loyalty was there, not nationally. That was the culture of our country. Given the fact that communication was poor and everything else, you didn't know much about anything else.
Well, you know, our number one argument for a long time is this argument here. Is it the United States or these United States?
Uh-huh.
And you still hear that argument. You know, they say it's these United States, not the United States.
Well,
that's a national versus states' rights argument.
You know, Robert E. Lee, when he was offered command of the Union Army by President Lincoln, declined, even though he opposed slavery and did not want the South to secede, but his first loyalty was to his state, Virginia. So he did follow that. That's evil. He took his leadership skills to his state, and he attempted to influence them in the best way he could while offering his skills. Yeah, I wish he was on the other side. Congress over the years has made all Confederate veterans, U.S. veterans. It was.
I think they started in 1916, 1917, reintegrating, and there was something passed then, and then in 1957 there was
the final thing
again.
The final thing
they did, but they'd been messing with it about 40 years because they did not want to consider it the vanquished and us winners. They wanted us all to be Americans.
For the last 13, 14 years, I've been teaching at different colleges, and most of what I teach is American government. And one of my leading questions, virtually every class, is, did you have a good summer? Yeah. What'd you do over the 4th of July? This and that. Why do we celebrate the 4th of July?
Well, it's the one thing people are really missing in this, you know, people who are afraid of banana peels and afraid of this and that. And I was an adjunct faculty at New Mexico State University and then also at Doñana Branch Community College. And those people were just fine. I think much of what we're seeing is made up by the media and by a sliver of small people who are acting like, you know, they can form 10 or 15 Twitter accounts and then make it seem like that there's thousands of people. And I don't even think I think we are being pushed around by the media and by a very small group to say we've got to get rid of the Washington Monument or something. I really don't think that's if you actually put it to a vote, not a chance.
I agree with you on that. I believe that there are obviously some very passionate people who want this done, but they are multiplying their impact by playing the electronics game because manipulating.
The only way to make it not effective is to label it, and people realize that the people that want this done, there's only, 10,000 of them in a country of 320 million, you know, so. Okay, you know, all right, let's take a vote. But, you know, one of the things, you do have to look back, imperfect leaders, you had everybody who was so set on freeing slaves, but they wouldn't let women vote. And so we naturally evolved over the years, and in 1920, women got the vote, even though President Woodrow Wilson opposed it. We have now reached 1960 and 64 with, you know, against segregation. We actually, in our country now, have made all the transitions, but we're being dragged back into these conflicts by people who separate us as their way of making money and getting political power. And we really just need to quit listening to those people. You know, it was really... I heard that people didn't want Martin Luther King Jr. because, you know, he was against abortion as a minister. And you go, wait a second, the great he did when he said, you know, I have a dream that my four little children will live in a land where they're judged by the content of their character and not the color of their skin. We've gone back against all the things that he lived and died for. And we just need to get some sanity and say to people, if you want to try this, you got to vote for it. You don't get to just grab up some axes and go hack at our memorials. We and our police will defend our memorials until you get a group together that can make a case. And I believe there probably is some statues you could make a case against, but you can't go and just beat them with sledgehammers.
Amen. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing dealing with imperfect historical leaders and their statues with Dr. Michael Swickert. So the solution, Michael, is I think parents need to raise their kids to know about America. And we can lean on our school boards and school members for them to teach real history. That'd be
Absolutely.
A good start. But I think it starts with the parents.
Yeah, it starts with the parents. But the other thing is that when you get this goofiness from your media, you give them one warning and then you shut them off. If it's your local paper, you cancel your subscription and you never look at another paper again. And papers are dying on the vine right now. And so what you have to do is those people who are trying to pervert our history, you know, you really can't change them, but you certainly can shun them. And ultimately, like they say in Hollywood, it doesn't matter what you say about me as long as you spell my name right.
Uh-huh.
If you shun them to where they don't get another nickel from you, they don't can't sell you another, you don't watch their channels, that's the ultimate solution, is that your attention goes to things like front lines of freedom, and you just do not put your time and effort into anything where they're talking garbage.
And I think that's a good conclusion to our conversation, because that's something we can do. There's a call to action. Don't put up with this stuff, and vote with your money, with your attention, with the support that you can give as a consumer. That's a great solution.
Absolutely. You look your leaders in the eyes, and if they look down or look away and they say, well, it'd be hard to do that, you say, well, then I'll get somebody who can do it.
Amen. Michael, thank you. This has been fun. We need to do it again. I thoroughly enjoyed this. I'm glad to find out that you weren't perfect, because I was a little bit intimidated until then.
No, not a bit. And thank you for your service to our country. I really appreciate your service, plus all that you're doing with Front Lines of Freedom.
Michael, it's a pleasure. Thank you for being with us. Here's our Stand Tall Troop report. This is when we find an outstanding performance of duty, and we're privileged to honor this fine troop. Former Army Ranger Matt Maloney was in Houston for treatment at a VA hospital for prostate cancer when the worst of the storms flooded the city. Then he got appendicitis. He was in a hotel 2 miles from the Michael DeBakey VA Medical Center, and he had no way to get there. Immediately, my training as a ranger kicked in, and I knew I needed to get myself to the VA, he said. He ignored the pain, sized up the situation,